Hello beautiful people, welcome to this exciting episode of the Influencers Community Podcast with Heaven Umunna, where every Tuesday I share with you simple things you can do to become more influential for God, in your community, in the world at large. Thank you so much for listening to my welcome back episode last week. I got massive reviews and testimonies from that episode. I'm truly privileged and humbled to serve the purpose of God in my generation. Thank you. Okay, before I continue the lesson from last week, there's something I saw on Twitter over the week. It was a tweet by Dag Howard Mills. Dag Howard Mills is a well-known bishop in the western part of Africa, from the country Ghana. Among Christian leaders, Christian leaders know him very well. He has been so instrumental in writing a whole lot of books and blessing the body of Christ with the depth of wisdom and insight God has given him. I have been tremendously blessed by his books countless occasions. I remember one of his books on disloyalty. Kai, thank God for Pastor Ni Oshadare anyway, because it was Pastor Ni who, when I was in Benin Republic, yeah, by the way, if you don't know it now, I schooled in Benin Republic. So back then, when I was in Benin Republic, Pastor would take us on loyalty class and he would teach. And the teachings were so insightful, I had to go find the book for myself. And reading the book, whoa, it was deep. The book was by Dag Howard Mills. I've gone on to read so many other books by him. So this week I saw a tweet he made. He said that before he started writing books, that back then the enemy would tell him, what is he writing? What does he want to write? That nobody will buy his books. Nobody will read his books. So he used to feel discouraged, seriously. Like, he didn't feel like he could do it. He didn't feel like he could write anything. In fact, let me go and find that tweet. Let me read it for you exactly the way he said it. He said, before I started out in the ministry of writing books, Satan said to me, your books are not necessary. No one will read them. But today, I have published millions of books with powerful testimonies from around the world. Many times, we think there is no need to do our little bit. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John each wrote a gospel. Think about the contribution of John to many lives in the whole world by doing just a little bit more. Through John's efforts, we are so blessed to know all the things that are found nowhere else in the gospel. And this struck me. Do you know there's a perspective about God that has been given to each one of us that no other person would see? There are angles to life that no other person would see. They come to you with ease, but they come to other persons with please, my friend and kingdom billionaire Emmanuel Akpe will say. If you decide to lock up and keep the message to yourself, people are going to keep wondering and people are just going to suffer. Serious suffer, not small one, serious one. I'm saying this because I, speaking with you now, I often feel insecure. I must come out clean. I must tell you this truth. I often feel insecure. You may say, what? Heaven, how can you say that? I'm serious. I often feel insecure. Sometimes I feel like, what do I want to tell people that they don't know? Like, there's plenty of apostles and all these people up and down. What do I want to share that somebody has not heard before? But saying that I'm not the only one who felt this way, greater men that have gone ahead of me, they felt that way. Man, I told myself, there's no more excuse. I'm just going to put out my little bit. I'm not looking for the crowd. I'm just looking to touch one soul. I'm just looking to minister to you and contribute to your growth in my own little way. And you should pay this service forward. Stand up right now. minister to someone else with the little you know, with the little you have, in your own little way. The thing you think is little is great in the hand of God. It's really, really great. Come to think of it, imagine if John had felt well, Matthew had written an account, Luke had written an account, under the instruction of Peter, Mark had written an account. What else is there to write? These three angles is not enough. Is it not going to be a way? I'm not just going to be overflogging this topic of the life of Christ. But hey, Matthew, Mark, and Luke never told us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow! Something that was so common to John, but look at how easy it came. Yeah, it was so common to John, but it was not so easy to the other apostles. They didn't see things from that perspective. And look at us today. We are super grateful that John penned his own account down for us. Sometime in February this year, to be precise, on my birthday was February 2nd. I was asking God that day. I said, well, are we not having too many teachers on social media nowadays? Like, come on, everybody is teaching something, everybody is sharing one remark, everybody is preaching one truth or the other. Like, can I just be the one who is supporting them from behind? I really don't want to add another voice to the plenty voices you already have. Are we not already too much? And guess what God told me? He said, yes, I must have many teachers. If not, how else would the knowledge of God cover the earth as the waters cover the sea? How else? And that's true. One man cannot preach the world. Two men, five men, 10 men, 5,000, 100,000, 1 million cannot preach the world. So God must have many, 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 many teachers. Many teachers. Many teachers. As long as you are called, teach in the sphere you've been called to, in the jurisdiction you've been called to. Don't be afraid. Step up. Just teach. As I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself again. Just step up and teach. I've decided that every time I share something on social media, it's going to be to the end that I strengthen someone's conviction about life, because our convictions are either springboards or strongholds. Our convictions, I say again, are either springboards or strongholds. They either push you in spite of the odd to go higher as a springboard, or they hold you back and limit you from becoming all that God has called you to be as a stronghold. Your convictions are springboards or strongholds. And I'm just here to strengthen your convictions that would propel you to go higher. Okay? Okay. Now back to our teaching. Last week we said a lot of plenty things. I listened over again and I was blessed. I was tremendously blessed. You say, but it was you that recorded it. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through me. Just the same way it is the Holy Spirit that is tweeting and Facebooking and Instagramming through all of us. You see, the Spirit of God can only interface with the earth through a body. And that's why the scripture, it says, a body has thou prepared for me. So every day you surrender to Christ, every day you yield to his authority, the Holy Spirit is finding a body prepared for him to do what he wants to do. Don't wait for Apostle Joshua Selman to come and hold revival in your office. Don't wait for Apostle Arum Elsai to come and do crusade in your street. Don't wait for us. You are that body that God has prepared for himself. So stand up and do the revival. Shout power 3 times. Something will happen. Okay, shout out first and foremost to my international audience, every person who listens to me outside Nigeria, I love you. This is the voice of Heaven Omuna, the global priest. I'm just here to share my little bit with you today to contribute again to your influence game. All right. Okay, let me enter to this gist. Let's get serious now. See, I'm sorry, you. My own way of sharing the word of God. I don't like being too serious, because well, I can get too serious, especially yesterday. Something happened in church yesterday, and even me, I was shocked at myself. I was explaining some things, and that mantle of seriousness fell on me, and I became too serious. Hey, I was afraid, though. I thought when I dropped that mic, they would rush me and beat me up. Okay. So, today's gist. Help me. I want to connect with God, but I have a 9-to-5. Nowadays, 9-to-5 looks like a big but. And so many persons feel, well, I love God, I want to do this, but I'm going to work, but this, but that, but, plenty but. See, one thing we should know about the strategy of the devil, scripture admonishes us that we should be mindful of the vices of the enemy, meaning his tools, his strategies, his technology for deceiving us. And the beautiful thing about deception is that deception never looks like deception until it has completely deceived you. Deception will never look like deception until it has completely deceived you. So, what is one of these vices which the enemy has mastered how to use for several years and is still using? You see, the devil has this plan that if he can't bring you to hell, if he can't stop you from getting saved, then just keep them busy on it. Just keep them busy. By busy, we mean make them to major on the minor and minor on the major. Let them misplace their priorities. Do you know why he's going to do that? Because he knows that if he doesn't keep you occupied by making you worry over trivial things, these are the trivial things that Jesus mentioned in the book of Matthew 6, and he says, seek ye first the kingdom. He didn't say those things are not good, but set your priority right. Seek ye first the kingdom, and then these other things will be added to you, because he knows that the vices of the enemy is to make you seek those other things. I often say this, I'll say it again. In this kingdom, we don't pursue material things, we attract them. We pursue spiritual realities and we attract material things. We pursue spiritual realities and we attract material things. That's how we roll here. So, the devil knows if he can just keep you busy pursuing material things, you'll never ever have time to serve God. You'll never ever have time to come into the consciousness of who you are. You'll never have time to connect with your source so that you can always have an abundant resource. But there are keys that we can apply, and that's basically why this episode is recording. Oh my God. You've listened to over 13 minutes and I've not even started the gist. I'm sorry. Oh yeah, let me start the gist. You see, I took time to look at people who are very busy in the Bible and how they were able to cope. And one of the persons who surprised me the most is Jesus. You say, why are you using Jesus as a standard? Hold on. Jesus is really, really a standard. He's really, really the standard. Over the weekend, if I tell you I was praying, now you say, oh, you have time to pray. I was talking with God. Let me demystify this in the prayer before you start taking it. Any idea to take it. I was having a conversation with God, and he made me realize that everything Jesus did on earth, he did it to set a standard for us. Everything Christ did in the flesh called Jesus, he did it to show us what is possible, to show us what is obtainable, to show us a reality of what we ought to experience as a daily living. So if you are ever confused as to what daily living should look like, go and look at Jesus. I'm serious here. I'm not trying to be spiritual. Life is spiritual on its own already. I'm just stating fact. And the highest level of, of, of reality is God's word. I'm just stating it as it is. Jesus came to lay the groundwork for us. He came in our flesh. When scripture says he was made in the likeness of his brethren, it means every feelings we had, every feeling we can have, every temptation we can feel in this flesh, Jesus felt it too. And when I say every, I mean every. I'm not going to list some now for somebody to say heaven is blaspheming. But every feeling is every feeling. He felt it. He felt it. But in spite of those feelings, he subjected himself to in obedience to God's authority to show us that you can subject yourself. Oh, Jesus, thank you for you. I just thank you for you. Anyway, so I began to learn something. And one of the things is that I was wondering, I said, how is it that Jesus never made a mistake while on earth? But he's in a human suit. And one thing about this flesh is, as long as you are in the flesh, it will be very hard for you not to make certain mistakes. How was he able to be God yet be human? He was 100% God, 100% human. So it's not like you say, oh, his God abilities excluded him from human errors. No, he was open and vulnerable to those errors, but he didn't make them. And God began to explain to me why he was able to do so. Luke 5:16. I could start from 15. In fact, from verse 12 talks of where something happened. Jesus healed somebody, and then everybody started jumping up and down and all those stuff they used to do. From verse 15, it said, but the news about him spread even more, and large crowds would come together to hear him and be healed of their sickness. Verse 16 now, it said, yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. Yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. You see, when that word often brings us into the understanding that this was not a one-time thing. It was something that Jesus was doing like on a norm. It had become a culture to him. It had become a norm to him to withdraw, go hide himself, and pray. It had become a norm for him to withdraw, go hide himself, and pray. Withdraw, go hide himself, and pray. So he was used to praying almost virtually every time. There's a way. Let me read that scripture from Amplified. Is it Amplified? No. Let me read it in Message Translation. It says, and as often as possible, Jesus withdrew to out-of-the-way places for prayer. As often as possible, he withdrew to out-of-the-way places for prayer. So it means that no matter how busy you are, this is a man who was so busy, he just finished holding a crusade, just finished doing things. Yet, no matter how busy he was, you can withdraw. You can withdraw into the toilet. You can withdraw into one place or the other and pray. You can withdraw and go connect with God. You can withdraw and go and inquire. You can withdraw. Remember, I told you last week, when you understand the kind of relationship you have with God, you defeat that legalism of I cannot pray until I've reached home. No. Anywhere you are, you can withdraw and go and pray. You can withdraw and go and pray at any time and at every time. This is one of the great keys to impact. One of the great keys to impact. Jesus would often withdraw to go and pray. Another thing I observed that helped him stay in the will of God was that Christ was fond of praying early in the morning. He was fond of praying early in the morning. Look at this in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. The New International Version says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Very early in the morning, I was listening to a message by late Dr. Mahesh Moro, and he was making an analysis of this thing of Jesus standing up to go and pray. And he said that in Israel, the ideal time people wake up and do things is around 7, 8 a.m. But when scripture says here that Jesus gets up early before dawn to go and pray, he's talking about as early as 4 a.m. So every day of his life, Christ stands up by 4 a.m. and goes to a place and prays all through. Now, after doing this thing for early in the morning every day, he has aligned his mind with the mind of his Father, and he is back to do whatever his Father wants him to do. So that was the secret to him subjecting his flesh to the will of God, because of the activities he engaged in every morning, every time, no matter the time. You may say, okay, so are you saying I should not go to work now? I should start praying from 4 to 8. No, I'm not saying that. But if you know you're going to work by 5 a.m., especially if you live in Nigeria, Lagos is Lagos. Amen. You can do something 15 minutes before the usual time, 20 minutes before the usual time. Stand up. If you're someone who walk out, as you are walking out, be speaking in tongues. See, everything goes well with tongues. Remember, Okumosi Zevivie, you see, everything goes well with tongues. Speak in tongues as you are doing the workout. Connect with your Father by any means and by all means possible. Personally, one thing that helps me is I create an atmosphere conducive for His presence to talk to me. And that atmosphere, like I said last week, is not limited to a physical place. It is your heart, a posture of your heart. Everything I do in my physical environment is just to position my heart environment. If my heart environment is wrong, everything I'm doing in my physical environment is a waste of time. So sometimes you could see that I could just, if you come into my apartment sometimes, worship instrumentals are playing on a steady. They are always playing and grooving on a steady. Another thing I'm always doing is I'm always grateful. Always grateful. Sometimes if you don't know what to pray, just start saying, Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Before you know, more thoughts on why you should be thankful will start flooding in. And before you know, other things that you should or could not ask for will begin to come in gradually. Gratitude is so powerful. Another thing that helps me connect very well with God is forgiveness. Forgiveness. See, if you're unforgiving, it will be very hard for you to hear God. Very, very, very hard. Very, very, very hard. I cannot start explaining all these things now because this one is another episode we'll do. It will be very, very hard for you to hear God. Very hard. And you know that people struggle to pick the voice of God in their heart because of what they meditate on constantly. Yesterday, the table I was shaking yesterday, I told them, I said, on Monday, you are watching movie where they were fighting. On Tuesday, you were walking on the road, you are enjoying people that were fighting. On Wednesday, you enter Twitter, they are fighting. On Thursday, fight. On Friday, fight. On Saturday, fight. But then you come to church on Sunday, somebody provoke you. What do you think you will do? You fight! It's true. You must fight. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Personally, I'm not saying this because I'm too righteous. No, I'm righteous. What will you do? Come and beat me. I'm righteous. I'm not saying this because I'm exalting myself above any person, but there are times where I stay on social media and I begin to feel sick. Like, seriously, I begin to feel this sickening feeling inside me, like, oh God, I've eaten too much junk today from these social media people. And I just put off my phone and I go and sleep or go and look for something productive to do with my life, because too much social media content has entered me. When I want to reason a matter, I'm no longer reasoning from the spiritual perspective of what is God saying. I'm reasoning from the carnal and man-sided perspective. It makes I can't even hear God on that issue because I've consumed too much content from man. too much content from man. And do you know that what you subconsciously feed your spirit is what it will produce for you consciously when you are in trouble? What you subconsciously feed your spirit is what to produce for you consciously when you are in trouble. The book of Proverbs 18:14 said, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Some of us can't be sustained in our day-to-day activities because our spirit is weak. Our spirit does not even have anything it wants to give us. It's dying. Seriously dying. Seriously dying. You become what you behold. This one, we don't need to say it too much. You already know. You surely and always become what you constantly behold. Someone asked me a question last week about stillness. When I said something on being still and knowing God, that's the key. Yeah, I was going to answer that question, but I needed to fulfill my promise of sharing these things. And so, in the next episode of the Influencers Community Podcast, next week, I'm going to do an entire episode on stillness. We'll look at so many things that have to do with stillness, what it is, how to go about it, the two types of stillness, and all that. Oh my God, I've been talking to you for almost 30 minutes. Forgive me, your heart. But I hope you enjoyed this episode today. If you did, please do two things for me. Are you going to do it? Okay, I'll tell you. Number one, share this podcast link with a friend. Social media, anywhere, wherever, place. Number two, reach out to me. Give me a feedback. Let me know how this episode blessed you. Let me know how it helped you. Your feedback helps me to create more content that can help you with simple things you can do to become more influential for God in your community and the world at large. So connect with me. My WhatsApp link will be somewhere in the notes of this podcast. On Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, I'm at Heaven Umunna. Or you could just connect through this special Twitter handle for the podcast, which is at TIMM, whatever it is, Mosha is there. Okay, Isha there. So, am I forgetting the name right now? Get the gist too. Yeah, least I forget. Smile. God loves you. So, when next I come your way next time, don't forget, keep being influential.